Thank the Lord for this time. And I realize I stand tonight where a good man of God stands each service and preaches. So I'm honored and humbled to stand in the place where he stands. I'm also honored and humbled to stand in this place where some great preachers have stood and preached. And so I am humbled tonight that the Lord has blessed me with this privilege to be here. And it's good to be in your presence tonight. And in the presence of the Lord, thank God for the songs of Zion,
yes,
the
yes.
prayers, and thank God for the testimonies tonight, in the presence of the Lord. And call your attention to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 for the word of the Lord tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 8 of that scripture tonight. And as the pastor has said, I do ask humbly and sincerely for your prayers that God would help me and strengthen me for this hour. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you have a Bible and want to follow along with us as we read the Word of God, we'll look there in verse number 8. Now the Bible reads like this: Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.
Yes.
And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of the servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots, and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Yes.
Would you join me as we pray together tonight? Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you that you preserve the Scriptures unto this generation. Thank you for the portion you've directed our heart to. Thank you for this gathering together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for every time you've ever blessed us as we've stood in this place. But, Lord, here we are again tonight, Lord, needy creatures, leaky vessels. I'm facing a new congregation and a new night. I need fresh oil. I pray you'd help me tonight. I pray for just a few moments you'd hide me in the cross, that you'd anoint me, Lord, and empower me, enable me, and permit me how to preach and literally preach through me tonight. May I be pliable and usable in your hands. Anything and everything that might hinder the working of the Spirit of God. In my life tonight, I beg now for forgiveness and cleansing. I pray, God, that you'd touch these lips of clay, that I might proclaim the truths of the Word of God. I pray you give me heavenly wisdom and spiritual understanding. And touch me, Lord, tonight, that the Word of God may go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. As it goes forth, prepare our hearts how to receive it tonight. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. Have mercy on sinners and convict them of their need of you and go unto you with cords of love. I speak to those that are cold and indifferent, walking afar off, and help them to get right. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to every one of us and may respond to you and maybe not just be hearers, but doers of the Word of God. I pray above everything that's accomplished, and tonight you get honor and glory under your worthy name. And what you do, we'll thank and praise you for asking in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you are standing tonight. I call your attention to verse 17, which is the last verse that we read in this text tonight. And I want to preach, if God would help me, when the Bible said, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha felt the need to ask God to open the eyes of this man. Now, this man was not naturally blind, but this man could not see what Elisha could see. He could not, by faith, get a glimpse of what Elisha knew, my friend, was so. I want to say tonight, my friend, that God has to open the eyes of our understanding. God has to open the eyes of our mind, the eyes of our heart. And if God does not, we cannot see tonight. It ought to be a prayer of all of us tonight and in these days, my friend, that God would open our eyes that we might see. That God would open the eyes of others that we know about that are in the condition of this young man that cannot see what they need to see. It would be our prayer that God would open their eyes. I want to say tonight, first of all, I'd say that we need to pray, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the blind. And when I speak of blind tonight, again, I'm not speaking of natural blindness tonight, but I'm speaking of spiritual blindness. May I say to you tonight, every sinner outside of Christ is spiritually blind tonight. They cannot see. John Newton had it right when he said, "Hey, God, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Jesus was right when he said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And do you realize that the kingdom of God does not come with observation? Hear me, friend. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so I say to you tonight, friend, that in order to see the kingdom of God, in order to see, my friend, the greatness and the power of God, a person's eyes must be open tonight. Man, in his natural state, my friend, is born blind. He's blind spiritually. He cannot see. Amen. I say this to you, friend, do not misunderstand me tonight. Hey, God, there are duties that we have and responsibilities that we have as the children of God. But I tell you, friend, hey, God, just simply Sunday school, worship service, vacation Bible school, hey, God, whatever else you want to tag on, will not open a person's eyes. It'll take the great God of heaven, amen, to open the eyes of a sinner. It'll take more than a great evangelist. It'll take more than special singers. It'll take more than just a week set aside and to have a so-called revival and to open the eyes of the blind. God has to do that. Amen. Well, in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul sets forth the condition of a sinner. The Bible tells us that he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. He's talking about, my friend, the depravity and the degradation of the human race. Amen. The Bible said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The wise man blind, verse 21 said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. I remind you tonight that man in his natural state is blind to the things of God. Amen. Can I say the sinner tonight, all his views that he entertains of himself and God are narrow and wrong. Why? Because man's understanding is enfeebled and perverted by the practice of sin. Man has a way that seems right in his own eyes. Amen. But he's blinded to the truth and to the facts in the case. Amen. And it'll take, thank God, the God of glory to open his eyes. Amen. Oh, how we need to pray tonight that God would open the eyes of sinners tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The Bible said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, my friend, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Our prayer ought to be, God, open their eyes. Oh God, let them see. Amen. For if God does not let the sinner see his condition, if God does not let him see the Savior, he can never be saved tonight. I believe that. Yes, sir. God help us tonight. Oh, hear me. Open his eyes. We need to pray, Lord, open the eyes of the blind or the sinner tonight. Amen. God help us. The Bible tells us in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that is coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Amen. Man in his natural state is blind, headed, my friend, headlong towards the judgment of God and an eternal hell, and thinks that he's done fine and getting by with the way he's living. But all for God to turn the light of the gospel on in a person's life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad of a glorious gospel light that one day shined into my dark heart, into my blinded mind. Hey God, and let me see what I was by nature and what I could be and must be by the grace of God in order to go to heaven. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God for that gospel light that shines in darkness. Amen. Thank God for it. Hear me, man's blind. Lord, open his eyes. Aren't you glad there is light in darkness? The Bible said in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This was the true light that should light every man that cometh into the world. And where he's the light, and where he's the way out, and where, thank God, when the gospel is preached, hallelujah, I believe gospel is the word of God preached under the power of God. I believe that's what gospel is. Amen. And I believe when it reaches a sinner's heart, hey God, he'll shine. Well, there was no light before. He'll let him see things that he nobody never saw before. By the way, the first time the gospel reached my blinded heart, it wasn't joyous. I wasn't happy about it. But that day, I got afraid. I grew fearful of my condition. I found myself a condemned sinner. I'd been raising up to everybody in the church. And I felt like if they could go to heaven, I'd have no problem. But when the gospel of light shined where I was at, and I saw myself as I really was, and as God saw me, it brought fear to my soul. Well, bless His name. Thank God that not only brought fear, but it brought a calling. I'm glad He called me to Himself. And I saw Jesus Christ, not just as the man I learned about in Sunday school. But I heard the preacher preach about. The singers sing about. The saints shout about. But I come to realize He was my Savior. He was my hope and my help. Amen. Oh, that we would pray tonight. Lord, open their eyes that they might see. Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Not only open the eyes of the blind, but I want to say from our text tonight, not only open the eyes of the blind, but open the eyes of the embattled. Oh, this is the battle. As a matter of fact, the king of Syria has been camping out, laying wait for the king of Israel. And Elisha, thank God, being the man of God, and God giving him understanding where that the king of Syria is, he warns the king of Israel not to go that way or not to go over that way. And the Bible said he warned him, and by the king of Israel listening to the man of God, he saved himself not once nor twice. Amen. More than twice. Amen. Pretty good. May I say to you tonight that the preaching of the Word of God will prevent some things in our life. This blessed book tonight is preventive medicine. It is preventive medicine. And some preaching is simply preventive preaching. I mean, when you preach sometimes, and when the saints gather sometimes, and it looks like there's no movement, and it looks like nobody's responding, and it looks like that was the wrong message, my friend, and no one really took it to heart sometimes, it's just a preventive medicine. Thank God, it's just a forewarning. It's just given to us so that when we reach certain places in our lives, God, we'll call back to our remembrance that message we heard and said, do what it said and avoid this at all costs. And I tell you, we can avoid some pitfalls and some heartaches in our life if we just listen to the man of God as he preaches the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some of us, and I've been guilty myself of preaching the Bible only as a preventive medicine. Amen. Thank God. But it is a preventive medicine. But it's not only a preventive medicine. And yet it is. Thank God. If folks would take heed to it. And we almost act like when somebody has failed to take heed to it, I've been there just in for it, and it's over with. Oh, hear me. But I'm glad it's a powerful cure.
Amen.
Oh, I see you. Let me just, don't mind if I just sidetrack here just a minute. Thank God. And step aside just a moment. The Apostle Paul, I said to those fellows, that Roman ship headed to Rome, as they docked in that place they call the Fair Havens, but it wasn't commodious to winter in. He said, now don't, let's just don't sail. He said, I'm afraid if we sail, we're
is going to endanger the ship and what's on the ship and our lives. But the Bible said that the captain that was out over the prisoners, I believe the master and the owner of the ship, more than those things that were spoken by Paul, and when the soft south wind blew, he raised himself and set out to change where they were going to spend the winter. Amen. But it wasn't long to wake up in that Euroclydon storm 14 days later after no sunshine, stars, or moon had gone. And all hope that they could be saved was lost. Paul comes up out from the bottom of the ship. Hallelujah. And says, I'm going to tell you fellow something. Hey God, be of good cheer. Hey God, the winds are blowing. And the storms are raging. But he's preaching in the middle of a storm. And he said, you should have hearkened to me. Hey God, and not loose from Crete. And suffered disharmony and loss. That's preventive medicine. But he said, I've got a powerful cure for you. Thank God the Lord, whom I am and whom I serve. I sent his angel next night. And he stood by me. And he said, not a one of us are going to be lost. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that the Word of God is a preventive medicine and a powerful cure. Amen. And so the king of Syria is mad because the king of Israel keeps finding out where he's camping out and avoiding him. He said they got a spy among us. Somebody speaks up and says, there's no spy. There's not any of us that's committed treason against this king. But there's a prophet named Elisha that tells the king of Israel what you say in your bedchamber. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, find out where he's at. Hey God. And when you find out where he's at, go fetch him. Amen. Go get him. And so, as Elisha and this young man are sleeping, the Syrian army surround the city of Dothan. And when they get up to go out the next morning, that young man says, alas, Master, how shall we do? Same thing the son of the prophet said in the first part of this chapter when the axe head fell off the axe handle. Alas, Master, for it was borrowed.
Right.
Oh, here's a young man. Evidently took the place of Gehazi. Thank God that long time servant had not been in it too long. Didn't know a whole lot about it. And when he looked around and saw the Syrian army had Dothan surrounded, he said, we're licked. It's over with. Hope's gone. How shall we do? Alas, Master. And Elisha said, they are more with us than are with them. Hallelujah. Young fella scratched his head, looked around and said, what are you talking about? You mean there's more on our side than is on their side? Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Can I say to you tonight that so many times along this journey of life and in this Christian warfare we find ourselves embattled and surrounded by the enemy. But may I report to you tonight, even in 2007, even in the Laodicean church days, even in a day of lukewarmness, in a day of apostasy, and departing from the faith, there are more with us than are with them. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. I remind you of God. I know them that are his, the foundation of God, stand assured. And the Lord knows them that are his. I thought about it as I drove into Bremen a while ago. I thought of the scripture as the Lord spoke to Paul and said, I have many in this city. My God. God knows them that are his. I may not know them. And I won't see them all. And I'm not saying there's more in Bremen number wise than they are in the enemy camp. Hallelujah. But I'm talking, thank God, in this battle and in this warfare, there's more with us than are with them. Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And the next time he looked, thank God, he looked beyond the Syrian army and saw the horses. and the chariots of fire, and realize, hallelujah, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Amen. We get embattled by the modernists and the liberals. We get embattled, amen, by the agnostics and the apostates, do we not? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we get overwhelmed. Thank God with Banana Baptist Church because she's busting out the scene and building new buildings. And Hannah looks like she's got nothing. But I'm glad there's still more with us than are with them. Hallelujah. If you'll quit counting nickels and noses and realize, thank God, that if you're saved by the grace of God and in this battle with God, hey, thank God that there's more with you than are with them. And whether you're on Main Street or somewhere, thank God that you got a hundred to find where you're at. God knows where He puts you. Hallelujah. Thank God, and there's more with us than are with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't believe in that, you know, what folks say, well, I won't be at church tonight, but I'll send my spirit. I don't must.
Amen.
And I don't want to preach to my spirits. Amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. But I say tonight, I can't see anybody that sent their spirit along. I don't know how much confidence in that theology anyhow. But I want to tell you tonight, there's some folks that's come to meeting that we can't see tonight.
Amen.
There are some folks gathered around this place tonight. Hey, God. That are ministers. Hey, God. Of the heirs. Of the grace of God. Of righteousness. Are y'all hearing me? I believe the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love Him.
Amen.
Fear Him. I believe there's a group tonight that's watching and looking in on this. And they've been desiring for a long time to see what this is all about. Hallelujah. But all they'll ever do is look, amen, or else help us in some battle we're in. But they'll never know the grace of God tonight like I know it. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? The angels have desired to look into that. I'm telling you tonight, we're not in this fight by ourselves.
Amen.
There's a God that's with us. And a God that's for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand tonight. Just because we're in the majority, God doesn't let us always. Thank God. My friend, real. Sometimes folks are martyred. Sometimes God steps back. That's His business.
Amen.
And we don't understand God's way, but I am telling you tonight that call it to what the heathen does. Let them rage tonight. Hey, God, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I'm glad He's still on the throne tonight. And I'm glad He's got help for us. Yes, sir, thank God. And there's still more with us than with them. And sometimes you need to see that when you're in battle. As a matter of fact, it's a trick of Satan to isolate you.
You're right.
And make you think you're the only one.
You're right.
Oh, what doest thou here, Elisha? Oh, I've been zealous for thy sake. And Lord, thank God, the rest of that crowd, the enemy has torn down thine altars. Thank God, and polluted thy name, and I'm the only one left. He said, Elijah, you don't know what you're talking about. I got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed His image.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hey. And besides all of that, I want you to anoint 2 kings, thank God, and a prophet in your room, Elijah, and we're going to see what they'll do. Hallelujah. Ahab and Jezebel won't have the life say. I'll let Jehu have a crack at it, and Elisha as well. I'm telling you tonight, friend, God My friend, is on our side tonight. And there's more with us than are with him if you're in battle. By others, look to him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
I want to tell you, the sad thing in most churches today is that they have become political like Washington. And they decide how to go by licking their finger and seeing which way the wind
blows. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Right. Or they take a poll in the community and see what they think about it. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. It doesn't matter which way the wind, the political wind, or the religious wind that's blowing, or what the poll says in the community. God's word is right. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. Hey, thank God. This word's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. And Christ died to save sinners. Hallelujah. And he bought and paid for a church. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be in that number. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Amen. He's more with us than are with them. If you're not careful, you'll let those that let down the standard, you'll say there's more with them. More. Oh, it'll embattle you. It'll discourage you. It'll defeat you. But thank God there's more with us than are with them tonight. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the embattled. Now, say for just a moment, open the eyes of the burdened. In Luke chapter 24, there's two disciples on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. The Bible said that as they walk and talk and talk and walk, the Bible said that their communications are sad. And it looks like the more they talk and the more they walk, the less they understand what they're talking about. And their walk gets heavier. Their burden. They do not understand the events that have taken place the last few days in Jerusalem.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And as they walk and talk with each other, somebody starts walking and talking with them.
Right.
And ask them why that their countenance is so sad and their heart is so burdened. And they try to explain, are you a stranger? And do you know what things have happened? They said, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, whom we thought to be a prophet of God, and whom we thought to be the Messiah, and whom, thank God, we thought would restore the kingdom to Israel, and who, 3 days ago, was crucified and put in a tomb. And then some women went to that tomb this morning and said he wasn't there, but saw angels, and it said he's risen, and the disciples went, and they said the body's gone, and we really don't know what to think. And so he began at Moses and expounded them the scriptures concerning himself. And when they got to where they was going to stay, when they got to Emmaus, to their house, they constrained him to sit down with them. And he sat down and he broke the bread, blessed it and broke it, gave it to them, and the Bible said their eyes were open.
That's right.
And they knew it was him. And as soon as they knew it was him, he vanished out of their sight. One of them looked at the other one and said, that was him, wasn't it? He said, it sure was. And said, I didn't realize it, but as we were walking up from Jerusalem to Emmaus, I had holy heartburn as he talked to us about the scriptures. Amen. I want to tell you, friends, sometimes we're burdened about things that we don't understand. May I say to you tonight, sometimes we think we've tracked God and that we know which way he's going. That's what they're saying. And about the time they had God figured out, he'd done something different.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew Henry said, thank God, when Joseph brought his two sons to Jacob for him to bless, and he put the eldest, thank God, in front, and the youngest behind. But Jacob, though he was dim-eyed, crossed his hand, and blessed the younger above the elder. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, sometime when you think you've got God figured out, he'll cross his hands on you. Amen. And brother, they thought that Christ would come and set up that kingdom and run the Romans out. Thank God. And they would have glory as they reigned with him. But he carefully reminded them that he must first suffer and then enter into His glory. Hey, friend, they saw my friend the sovereign Savior, but they didn't see the suffering Savior. Amen. So many times we see the blessings and the bounty, but we forget it's a way of suffering and sorrow and heartache, and there's burdens to bear. Amen. But in the midst of our burdens, He does not leave us comfortless. In the midst of our burdens, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our sad countenance, in the midst of our misunderstanding, I'm glad He'll walk with us. And instruct us in the way. We need our eyes open when we're burdened about things that we don't understand.
Amen.
And things that have turned out differently than what we thought they ought to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preacher passes the first church and they run him off. And he wondered why God don't kill the whole bunch. Amen. That's exactly right. And the next man comes along and looked like he'd do better than he ever done. And he begins to wonder. He's just stood for right. Are y'all listening to me? Thank God that family leads a church that has caused nothing but heartache and trouble. Disgruntled. Upset with everything you do. Always shaking their head no. While you're shaking your head yes. And finally, they walk out the door. And you're not glad, but you are glad. And you see them. Thank God. My friend, you sigh with relief as they head out the door. But they go somewhere down the road. And looks like get right in with somebody else. And go to prosper every which way. And you wonder what's going on. Hey, that's exactly right. Hallelujah. You know that fella on the job that's supposed to be a preacher, a pastor in a church, and he's a scallywag. You've heard him tell his nasty jokes. Hey, friend. You've heard him do a lot of things. And seen him flirt with the women down at the workplace. And you know some things that's going on in his life. And he's nipping a little bit on the side. Yet it looks like his church is growing at the seams. And you want to tell somebody. But nobody could believe that somebody that could preach like that and has that kind of charisma and personality. Something could be wrong with him. Just look at his church. That's the mark. That ain't the mark, friend. And yet here you are trying to leave a bride. Stay separated and dedicated. And your little old handful struggles to pay the bills. And to worship in the old time way. Yet you know God put you there. I tell you, friend, it's enough to leave you confused and burdened. But oh, that He'll open our eyes tonight. And let us see that He's alive. That He conquered it all. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God. And He just wants us to be faithful. He's not rewarding us over how many we've added to the roll. He's not rewarding us out of how many pat us on the back and say you're the best preacher that I ever heard. But He's rewarding us because we're just being faithful and we're just standing at our post of duty and doing what He said. Woo! And when you think you can't stand it no longer and wonder where He's at, He'll show up and come and reveal Himself, and you'll realize that you wasn't walking by yourself none of the time, but He was there with you. You just couldn't see Him. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the embattled. Open the eyes of the burdened that they may see.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you'll allow me one last thing, I'm through. I want to say, Lord, open the eyes of the believer. Open the eyes of the believer. Did you know it's possible for our eyes to wax dim?
Sure.
Did you know, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, it's even possible for us to be blind?
Right.
And I don't mean blind like the sinner, for here's what the Bible said. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity.
Yes, sir.
And if you do these things, or if these things be in you to abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Some folks are barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Y'all believe that tonight?
Yes, sir.
I believe some folks are saved and never come to the knowledge of the truth. What do y'all think about it? That's the purpose for the church.
Yes, sir. Right.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints. And he said, if these things you add to your faith, if they've been your bound, you won't be barren and fruitful. But if they're not, you will be barren and fruitful. And he said, you lack these things. He is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. Are you always going to be tonight?
Yeah.
He's blind and cannot see afar off.
Right.
He can see, but he can't see far.
Right.
Amen. He's legally blind. You know, maybe somebody here tonight. Sometimes people are declared legally blind. Doesn't mean they can't see at all. It just means, thank God, that the government has decided that they are legally blind. That is, they should not have a license. There's some things that that they cannot do legally because they're legally blind. They may see images. They may see a certain distance, but they're blind legally. And that's what happens to some Christians, some believers.
Yes, sir. Yes.
When they get barren and fruit from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they fail to add to their faith, we become blind and cannot see far off. I tell you how far we can see. We can see our circumstances.
You're right. Amen.
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 That's all we can see. I tell you what we can see. We can see the giants, but not the grapes.
You're right.
I tell you, when you get blind and cannot see afar off, you see your situation. Amen.
Right.
Oh, yes. And you see nothing but that.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the eyes of faith. Thank God. It's the eyes of the believer that's been opened that can see afar off, that can see the end of the matter. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? So God opened the eyes of the believer. That's what Ephesians 1 says, and I want to hurry and get through with this tonight. I don't want to tax your patience. Verse 18 said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Yeah.
That's opened. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Looks like to me the Apostle Paul said in the church at Ephesus, I want God to open your eyes that you can see. What you want to see, Paul? What do you want the church at Ephesus to see? He said that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And the greatness of His power to usward who believe. Three things. Amen. First of all, He wants us to see the hope of His calling. Not the hope of our calling. But the hope of His calling. I believe that's in verses 3. Thank God, my friend, beginning at verses 3, where He said, blessed be God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, where He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace.
Yes.
That's the hope of His calling.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Are you saying, preacher, that God's predestinated some of us to go to hell and some of us to go to heaven? I'm not preaching that tonight. But predestination has nothing to do with a sinner. But it has everything to do with a believer.
You're right.
Amen. That's why he said, I want your understanding to be enlightened. I want your eyes to be opened that you know the hope of his calling. What hope is that? That he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Did not the brother testify tonight that even before the world was, Christ was marked out as the Savior? And he was. Amen. And we're chosen in Christ. Oh, it's not that God chose some and damned others, but all those that will believe they were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He's predestinated us to be made conformable under the image of his Son. What is that? The hope of his calling is us that are called and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're in Christ, God has predestined that we should awaken his likeness.
Amen.
That's what that Bible says. I want to tell you, that's assurance to me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad of it tonight. That's the hope of his calling. Secondly, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Not the riches of our inheritance, but the riches of his inheritance. Amen. He's rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Yet this scripture indicates that evidently there's some riches of his inheritance that's through us. Amen. May I say this? God inherits what is his. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. God inherits what's his. But he puts his saints in possession of it. The promised land was his, but he inherited it through the nation of Israel. Through, thank God, the promised ones. Is that not right?
Right.
Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. And I tell you what Christ, what glory Christ has got. Hallelujah. Is that in the riches of his inheritance is that he will, hallelujah, inherit through his saints. Isn't that a blessing? Huh? He could have without us. Oh, he could have. It was his. Oh, it was his. Anyhow. Hallelujah. Oh, but he made us his bride. Woo! And he didn't just make us his bride, he made us his joint heir. Hallelujah. And I'm not a co-heir, I'm a joint heir. There's a difference.
Amen.
That's exactly right. If we got 100 acres here tonight, every one of us in this building, 18 years and older, are co-heirs. We got to split that 100 acres up, however many of us they are, however many ways.
Right.
Hallelujah. But if you're a joint heir, thank God, hallelujah. Amen. You've got the 100 acres. Hallelujah. Hey, are y'all listening to me? We're not co-heirs. We're joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I say to you, thank God, that what Paul wants us to know, as well as the church at Ephesus, that our eyes would be opened unto the riches of his inheritance, the glory of my sin of his inheritance through his saints. Huh? And oh, we made a gazing stock now. We made a reproach. Now, we made a laughing stock now. Hallelujah. We're suffering now, but all that does not compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And the only part of that inheritance we have now is the Spirit, the earnest. That's what these other verses say. I'm not going to take time to read them. Read them when you get to the house. Thank God, but he's given us the earnest of our inheritance. Thank God, which is the Spirit, amen, of adoption, the Spirit of promise. Thank God, we're sealed with that. Thank God, until the day of redemption. Oh, hallelujah, thank God. Hey, I want to tell you something. If the riches of the glory of his inheritance among us, it's just the down payment of the earnest. It's so wonderful. What will it be? Thank God. When he inherits the full inheritance through us.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be something else. I'm going to tell you about. It sure is. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Oh, yeah. But then we're going to have a body like his. Hallelujah. Amen. And what is his? All of it's his. Hallelujah. And if all of it's his, all of it's mine. Well, bless his name. Boy, I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank God. Not only does He want our eyes to be open to the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, but He wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. Oh, we haven't tapped that power yet. What is the power that worketh in us? He said it's according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Oh, yeah. The greatness of the power that's in us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And if we could ever open our eyes to the greatness of that power, oh, it'd make you want to press on tonight. It'd make you want to pray on and preach on. Praise on! I think personally that's what charged the early church and the apostles. When they beheld His resurrection, and then when the Holy Ghost came and they realized He'd got back to heaven and the Comforter now come and empowered them, so they said, go ahead, say what you want to about us. Go ahead and stone us if you want to. Go ahead and lash us if you want to. Go ahead and do anything you want to do with us. But we've got that great power that was in Christ inside of us, and as He got up, we're going to get up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, sure.
Stephen said, stone if you want to, but I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless His name for that tonight.
Amen.
I want to say tonight, we need to pray, Lord, open our eyes.
Yes, it's
right. I wonder tonight, do you need your eyes open? Or is there some loved ones and friends and neighbors and co-workers that you need to ask God to open their eyes tonight? Do you need your eyes open to the greatness of His power, to the hope of His calling, to the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? Do you need your eyes open because you're burdened about some things? Do you need your eyes open tonight because you're embattled? Oh, do you need to pray for someone tonight who's blinded by sin, blinded by Satan? And you need to pray God open their eyes. As we stand on our feet tonight, and they come with a verse of song, we'll sing. If you need to pray, the altar's open. You come tonight.
Beyond the portals of time, there's a beautiful land, a world of God's glory unfurled. And by the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. I never miss heaven for the world. I never miss seeing Jesus. I never miss seeing loved ones we've known here below. I never trade forever for a few days down here. I never miss heaven for the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though things of earth may try to allure, for the smile of God means more than sin's brief glittering days. I never miss heaven for the world. I never miss seeing Jesus. I never miss seeing loved ones we've known here below. Oh, I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I never miss heaven for the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though things of earth may try to allure, for the smile of God means much more than sin's brief glittering days. I never miss heaven for the world. I never miss singing Jesus. I never miss seeing loved ones we don't hear below. I never trade forever for a few days down here. I never miss heaven for the world. After 7.
Yeah.